This is BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Delaney Turner. Today I'm talking to Tom Davenport. Tom is the co-author of Competing on Analytics and the President's Distinguished Professor of Information Technology and Management at Babson College. Tom, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Jeannie Harris mentioned that most companies are in the early stages of competing on analytics. If they're not outright analytically impaired, they're certainly not all analytical competitors. And if we look at the progression of performance management initiatives, most industry analysts would say that companies are also in the early stages. What link do you see between analytical competition and performance management?
Well, I think they are very related, and I think of performance management as something that you can do in a couple of different ways. To put it bluntly, you could do it with reporting, which is certainly the vast majority of what organizations have done in performance management. They're reporting about the past, mostly in standard reports, sometimes in ad hoc reports and queries and alerts, but it's about something that already happened in your business, and not much of a relationship between the different things you're reporting on. The other thing that one can do in performance management is to do it analytically, and that means to start using more quantitatively sophisticated approaches to looking at trends, looking at drivers of performance, and looking at relationships between non-financial performance measures and financial performance measures. And I think this is going to happen, although we're in an earlier stage relative to performance management analytics than we might be, say, in marketing analytics or supply chain analytics or some of these more operational forms of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, at Cognos, we talk a lot about the different personas or users of performance management within a typical company, the business managers, executives, frontline workers, and so on. You've mapped out different analytical personas. Could you outline what those personas are and then how they work together to drive an analytics-based strategy?
Sure. We talked about three different types of analysts, if you will. There were the professional analysts, who in most organizations represent a relatively small proportion of the total, and these would be people who have very strong quantitative backgrounds, you know, maybe PhDs in some quantitative oriented discipline, and it would be their job to kind of come up with new algorithms, new metrics, new ways of analyzing what's happening in the business. Then you have what we call the analytical semi-professionals. You know, a typical educational background for someone in that job would be an MBA, for example, and they can typically do some statistical work, maybe some regression analysis, for example. A lot of people are taught that in MBA programs, and they can certainly do some visual manipulation of data and can create some pretty powerful models, say, in a spreadsheet, if not in a BI tool or a statistical tool. And then an audience, a persona that's often overlooked is what we call the analytical amateur. These are typically people at the front lines of organizations who may not be creating the models but have to use them, say, with customers. And so a call center representative who has an analytical model determining what would be the next best offer that you'd offer to a customer, say, if I'm in a bank and you're talking to someone in the call center and they say, put all that money in your checking account into a certificate of deposit. I think there's some need for those frontline people to have some sense of how those recommendations were arrived at.
If we look at the data itself, what strategies does an analytical competitor put into place to be successful, and what technologies do you see them investing in?
Well, initially, a lot of the same kinds of strategies that you would apply to data for business intelligence are needed for analytical work. So, you know, the data need to be, as you suggested, fairly clean. Often, actually, with analytical work, you can deal with missing data more effectively than you can in traditional reporting-oriented business intelligence. So statisticians are quite comfortable with dealing with missing data. And if there's too much of it, they can actually do estimations of missing data. So it's that's a little bit less of a problem. But in both cases, I think you have to have data that's fairly common across the enterprise. It's hard to, for example, calculate some predictive measure of what a customer might buy when you have a different definition of the customer across, you know, different business units or product groups or whatever. So that consistency, that commonality across the organization, and, of course, a certain accessibility, getting data in a place where you can actually manipulate it. Traditionally, we've thought of that in BI in terms of enterprise data warehouses, but for analytical work, typically we would put it in smaller, more analytically oriented marts, if you will, for mm-hmm. doing the actual analysis.
Mm-hmm. The job of managing the analytics, it seems to be similar to managing what's known as a business intelligence competency center. You outline four models large companies have chosen. I was wondering if you could let us know or tell us how they made that choice and how would a company decide which model's right for them?
It's sometimes hard to talk about it in the abstract, but as you suggested, some companies have taken all of their analytical people and put them in one part of the organization, and in many cases it's IT. Mm-hmm. The analytical professionals are part of the IT organization, and that seems to work pretty well. It makes a lot of sense to do that when you have analytics taking place across a whole variety of functions in your business. If your primary focus is in one functional area, say marketing, then it probably makes sense to have the analyst be dedicated within that function rather than putting them in IT, although, as I said earlier, you do need a close relationship to the IT organization. There are some cases where analytical people might be in the strategy organization. So I think it's a function of what executives are really interested in doing analytical work, what is the particular target of the organization as far as its where its analytical capabilities are focused. You know, just is the executive who might manage these people really comfortable with that idea and conversant with some of the basic ideas in analytics so that they can provide a sympathetic home for people who think that way.
Well, if I am a CEO, it's obviously some very important decisions to make, but the benefit of analytics is very clearly outlined in a very compelling argument. Tom Davenport, thank you for talking to us today.
My pleasure, Delaney.
Virtual Venue, rock solid content. Cognos Virtual Finance Forum is our virtual conference and expo for finance executives. Get practical advice to solve your financial performance management challenges. You'll see effective ways to plan, forecast, and control resources. Hear from successful Cognos customers and access on-demand presentations from Tom Davenport, co-author of Competing on Analytics, The New Science of Winning, and Brian Hall of the Hackett Group. It's all happening June 4th. Register today at cognos.com/virtualfinance08.
Insights on performance management from the people who shape the industry.